silent apocalypse. It's hard to grasp, but the absence of sound is what truly unnerves me. No blaring alarms, no terrified screams, just this eerie silence that drapes over the deserted town like a deathly pall. The final message from my fading radio sends shivers skating down my spine. Seek refuge immediately. This is not a prank. After that, only static. Peering out of my grimy apartment window perched high on the 24th floor, I survey streets once teeming with life. Now they lie barren, mirroring a post-apocalyptic wasteland from some dystopian film. Cars sit abandoned mid-street, doors flung wide open in silent mockery of their absent owners. This can't be happening, I find myself murmuring in disbelief. My voice ricochets off the walls of my cramped quarters. This must be someone's twisted idea of a joke. But there's no one left to share in the laughter now, not since the power failure. The only source of light comes from a pitiful candle I'd managed to scrounge up somewhere. My phone, bereft of signal, serves as little more than an expensive paperweight. Suddenly, a gust slams into the window with such force it startles me. An unusual sensation in this deafeningly silent world. It echoes like some ravenous creature outside baying for its next feast. I think maybe Mrs. Rodriguez from three floors below might have some insight, any at all, so I snatch up my keys and head for the door. But each step reverberates through the vacant hallways like a horror movie score, heralding an impending jump scare. Then there's this horrifying wail just before dawn that nearly has me leaping out of my skin. It's unlike any animal cry I've ever encountered. It's raw hunger fused with some form of terrifying cognition. The feeble morning light offers no solace. All it does is expose the extent of the abandonment. Hastily deserted cars, personal belongings strewn haphazardly. A lone shoe here, a forsaken doll there, half-consumed meals, all evidence of abruptly interrupted lives. I won't deceive you, I'm petrified, utterly petrified. The silence that had been so suffocating now seems almost preferable compared to what it conceals. Days morph into nights filled with rationing whatever sustenance I can scrounge, and attempting to catch some sleep despite the unseen horrors and echoing shrieks. The radio sits there redundant, a mocking memento of life before this chaos ensued. One day, while foraging in an empty store across the street, I spot something, towering and skeletal with skin taut over its bones. Its eyes blaze like two embers under dim light locked onto mine. It's not merely some brainless beast from a horror tale. This creature exudes intelligence. It growls at me in a low rumble that vibrates my very being as it advances toward me. I sprint back home as swiftly as possible, dodging debris and toppled trash cans until I reach the sanctuary behind my apartment steel door, panting heavily with adrenaline surging through me. That night, under an old blanket, an idea struck me. Maybe noise could be my weapon against these beings. Gathering every noisy object I can find, pots, pans, cutlery, I prepare myself for combat against the silent predators. The following day, I generate as much noise as possible from my window, clanging pots together, yelling at full volume, anything to shatter the silence. But then something unexpected occurs. The creatures don't flee from the noise, they are attracted to it. My plan has catastrophically backfired. Now not only am I surviving in silence, but also hiding in plain sight amidst the cacophony. As the veil of night descends, my throat throbs with raw pain, and fatigue weighs heavily on my arms from incessantly clanging pots across the ghost town. Yet a glimmer of hope refuses to be extinguished. The beast hasn't re-emerged. Perhaps our cacophonous clamor has driven it away, or perhaps tranquility is our true shield against its terror. However, beneath a starless sky that nips at my skin, an unfamiliar sound reverberates from a distant corner of the city. It's a drumbeat, primal and ancient, pulsating from the city's core like the beating of a heart. A chill courses my spine as realization dawns. This isn't some arbitrary onslaught, it's a strategic siege. The hushed silence wasn't merely eerie, it was their snare, baiting survivors into revealing themselves. The rhythmic pounding beckons through the desolate streets like an ominous summons. From dilapidated structures and vacant windows emerge figures, not monsters this time, but famished humans with eyes aflame with desperation. Terror surges within me until I spot another figure darting across rooftops toward me against the faint city lights, Mrs. Rodriguez. Her usually tender gaze now brims with resolute bravery as she gestures for me to ascend via the fire escape. Without hesitation, I scale those rusted steps, my heart thundering in my chest. Atop the building, we huddle together, witnessing our home morph into something reminiscent of a horror film. The transformed humans are lured toward an enormous skyscraper radiating with a peculiar light by the relentless drumbeat now resembling an eerie chant in an archaic tongue. "What's happening?" I manage to croak out over the din, my voice barely more than a whisper. "They're gathering," Mrs. Rodriguez responds hoarsely, her face etched with fear and determination alike. Whatever ensues next won't bode well for survivors. The rooftop that had offered sanctuary moments ago now presents a petrifying panorama of our city spiraling into chaos. We're ensnared, spectators to the unfolding nightmare. Suddenly, the chanting crescendos and it feels as if the city trembles. From that luminous skyscraper erupts a blinding light that tears through the sky. A monstrous figure materializes from the light, its form shifting and warping in defiance of natural laws. It's an abhorrent amalgamation of flesh and bone, a creature ripped from your darkest dreams. With a roar that rattles our city's foundation, it turns its glowing gaze toward the survivors scattered on the rooftops. Mrs. Rodriguez stifles a sob and says, "It's over." Dance of the damned. The pungent perfume of sulfur clings to my skin, a ceaseless keepsake from the encounters I've endured in the world's hidden abysses. Sleep is a rare treasure, as whispers on the wind signal an encroaching shadow, a voracious entity that yearns for more than mere human souls. Tonight, the gale howls like a wraith, gnawing at the ragged motel's window. Perched on the edge of the bed, I cradle a tepid cup of coffee, the first hint of warmth I've felt in days. The television blinks with static, reflecting the storm brewing beyond. My phone, its screen scarred from endless journeys, flashes one new message: St. Jude's Hospital, urgent, come alone. St. Jude's is both a haven and a tormentor. It's why I find myself in this forsaken town on civilization's fringes. My niece Lily, her eyes holding whole universes and a spirit brighter than any star, battles something far darker than usual childhood illnesses. The message strikes like a stealthy blow, urgent and alone, not reassuring signs. Downing the bitter brew for some much-needed vigor, I steel myself for whatever lies ahead. The hospital towers before me. Its stark white facade contrasts against the storm-racked sky while rain plummets down, hiding its neon sign promising hope and healing, luxury scarce in my line of work. Inside, sterile air and artificial light clash with nature's fury outside. Nurses' hushed chatter and machines' incessant beeping amplify my unease. Recognizing me from Lily's picture file, an apprehensive nurse motions me forward with her soft-spoken voice. "Miss Jade," she murmurs gently, "follow me." We weave through labyrinthine hallways, echoing with her shoes' rhythmic squeaks against the shiny floors, until we halt before a door marked Isolation Unit. "She's changed," she cautions, her eyes reflecting a blend of fear and sympathy. "Just be cautious." Taking a deep breath, the sulfur's familiar scent comforts me amidst the sterile surroundings. Whatever lurks behind that door can't surpass what I've already faced. Upon opening the door, a surge of cloyingly sweet air assaults my senses. In the dim room, a lone bulb dangles from the ceiling, casting an unsettling light on Lily's frail figure swathed in pale sheets. But it isn't her gaunt look that sends terror coursing through my veins, it's her eyes, their black voids emanating an unnatural glow. Her lips twist into a snarl, revealing rows of needle-like teeth. A growl reverberates from her throat. "Lily?" My voice is barely audible as a whisper. She cocks her head, those black orbs locked on mine as she rasps out one word: "Hungry." Fear seizes me. This isn't the illness I'd feared, but something far more wicked, something bearing the same sulfurous stench I've spent my life combating. Suddenly, those windborne whispers hold terrifying truths. The encroaching darkness, its insatiable hunger. It doesn't seek souls, but flesh and life force to fuel its strength. And it has found an ideal host in my innocent niece. The door slams shut behind me with chilling finality, leaving me trapped with a monster wearing Lily's face. Past battles and terrors fade compared to this horrific revelation. The darkness I hunt has found refuge within my niece's vacant gaze. The struggle for Lily's soul, and perhaps even for humanity, has just begun. My heart pounds a relentless rhythm against my ribs, each beat a reminder of countless encounters with the supernatural. Swiftly, I seized the time-worn pouch at my side, its leather whispering of past battles fought. Within, the icy touch of a silver vial imparts a comforting certainty to my trembling hand. This is no ordinary weapon. Holy water carries a potent sting for creatures that have chosen Lily. Sweet, innocent Lily, who wouldn't dream of hurting even the smallest creature, as their host. Tears blur my vision as fear takes hold, freezing me from within. This isn't a solution but a desperate gamble. To use the vial means risking everything, betting on the slim hope that just a splash of holy water might banish this beast back to its hellish home. Lily lunges forward, her movements unnatural and far removed from those of an innocent child. I dodge her attack, crashing onto the floor. The putrid smell of sulfur fills the room, choking me. In desperation, I rip down the curtain from the window, hoping sunlight may weaken it. Pulling open the curtain allows a beam of pale light to cut through the darkness, momentarily blinding me. A piercing scream echoes around me, an attack on my sanity as if being torn apart by unseen beasts. The light fades as dark clouds gather overhead, unleashing rain in torrents. Lily writhes on the bed while shadows twist around her like serpents in chaos. Slowly, her eyes lose their eerie glow, returning to their familiar blue. Vacant and confused, a weak cough escapes her lips before she calls out, "Aunt Jade." Relief surges through me so powerfully that it threatens to topple me over. I rush to her side and cradle her frail body as tears flow freely down my cheeks. Lily is back, but for how long? The presence still lingers. "We need to leave," I whisper, forming a plan as we go. "The hospital is no longer safe, and we must escape." Lily clings to me, too weak to resist, as I gently lift her from the bed. The sterile hallways blur into nothingness until we reach the exit and burst through the automatic doors into the rain-soaked night. My car, an old beast packed with anti-demonic tools that could bankrupt a coven of witches, waits faithfully. As I settle Lily into the passenger seat, I let a single drop of holy water fall onto her forehead from the vial. She whimpers, but the faint sizzling sound tells me it's working. The engine roars to life. Gravel flies out from under the tires as we speed away from the hospital parking lot, just as police sirens wail behind us. There's no turning back now. Days blend into weeks in our desperate flight across desolate landscapes. Lily clings weakly to my arm, whimpering whenever shadows stretch out from the passing scenery. I feed her a mixture of herbs and holy water, an unpleasant brew but hopefully potent enough. Every few hours we stop at isolated churches, their solitary crosses glowing like beacons in the darkness. I engage in improvised ceremonies, utilizing consecrated chalk as my tool to etch arcane symbols into the grain of the wooden floorboards. The words of ancient incantations tumble from my lips, each syllable a plea to unseen forces. All these efforts are made with a singular objective: to erect a temporary barrier against the relentless advance of the looming darkness, providing a fleeting sanctuary for both of us. The struggle seems ceaseless, against an adversary so formidable it twists my stomach into knots. Our journey leads us to a forsaken mining town, consumed and forgotten by the encroaching desert sands. Here, an age-old church remains vigilant, its weathered exterior serving as a silent testament to faiths long abandoned. This is it, our last stand within this church radiating dormant power. As I lay Lily on a pew, my most complex ritual yet begins. Hours pass in heavy anticipation until dawn's first light paints gold across the sky, and a blinding light erupts from the altar. The entity screams, shaking the very foundation of the building as shadows squirm, reaching for us but are held back by the light which pushes them away, scorching them. With a final earth-shattering roar, it is torn away, leaving behind an echoing silence. Lily stirs, her eyes fluttering open, clear blue, tinged with memories of the horrors endured. Relief washes over me, warm and welcome, as sunlight streams through the broken stained glass, bathing us in vibrant colors. But I know it isn't over. Darkness lurks, biding its time, waiting for its inevitable return. Months later, the haunting prophecy of the elderly woman still reverberates in my thoughts. Our existence has become a whirlwind of relentless study and ceaseless journeying. Meanwhile, Lily, who has astonishingly managed to escape the clutches of the malevolent entity, flourishes within a concealed haven. This sanctuary teems with individuals, each marked by their chilling encounters with the supernatural. Within the eerie remnants of a once revered church, I find myself engrossed in cryptic inscriptions. These ancient narratives are etched in a forgotten language, recounting epic battles against a creature referred to as the Devourer. This beast, spawned from unchecked and savage hunger, feeds on human spirits. It resides in the voids between dimensions, always ready to breach our existence. A particular passage sends shivers coursing down my back. It mentions a beacon whose very existence lures the Devourer. Suddenly, it all becomes horrifyingly clear. Lily, with her pure innocence and palpable vulnerability, she is the perfect lure. A persistent dread gnaws at my core. The texts suggest exorcism rituals that demand powerful artifacts dispersed across far-flung lands. Time is running out. Each dawn feels like borrowed time. Every dusk brings the ominous prospect of conflict. One night, tension sparks through the air like electricity before a thunderstorm. Shadows grow menacingly longer. Murmurs rise on sighing breezes. Goosebumps pepper my skin as Lily grips my hand tightly, her blue eyes wide with terror. "Lily," I say with urgency, holding steady to a vial of holy water and an age-old silver dagger before diving into the impending darkness. The disruption materializes in the clearing beyond our refuge. A spiraling vortex throbs mid-air, while shadowy appendages extend like clawing fingers from its center. The Devourer has arrived. Fear threatens to engulf me, but envisioning Lily's innocent face strengthens my resolve. I rush alone toward this ancient horror while it retaliates with shadowy appendages that leave frosty burns on my flesh. I evade and roll, trained instincts that have navigated me through past battles. Each stride forward is laden with peril. Every breath is a silent plea for survival. Finally, close enough to feel the Devourer's nauseating heat, I splash holy water onto it. It recoils and hisses in temporary retreat. Seizing this brief respite, I thrust the silver dagger into the heart of the vortex. A dazzling light explodes as the blade hits its target. The Devourer emits a ground-shaking shriek as its form recoils like an injured serpent. My triumph is fleeting as it unleashes a final burst of energy that propels me through the night before darkness envelops me. When my consciousness returns, Lily's tear-stained face comes into focus. "Aunt Jade?" she murmurs. "Here," I manage to rasp amidst waves of agony. An elderly woman appears beside me, concern etched on her wrinkled face. "You fought valiantly," she states solemnly. Glancing around at the clearing now drenched in soft dawn light with no sign of the vortex leaves me questioning if it had all been an illusion or some collective delusion. "The Devourer is gone?" I ask. She shakes her head regretfully, her eyes mirroring an indisputable reality. "No, Jade, it's merely repelled for now, but will return stronger." Gazing upon Lily, my determination is rekindled with a fierce intensity. The lurking darkness may be biding its time, yearning for the moment to stage its unavoidable resurgence. However, we will stand prepared, fortified with an unwavering resolve to shield what we hold dear. Each time the shadows dare to encroach on our world, they will meet our hope and relentless bravery head on.